Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 10th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures point to a lower open after yesterday's gains.
Investors await word from the European Central Bank and its plan for the path ahead.
TikTok makes moves to potentially avoid a sale of its U.S. operations.
And a deal takes shape to rescue JCPenney from bankruptcy.
The blowback after revelations that President Trump intentionally downplayed the pandemic, plus indoor dining is set to resume in New York City. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees ended their losing streak. The Mets rallied to win a second straight loss for the Islanders.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by SEI. Crises and challenges highlight the power of partnership and character. Work for the common good. One community, SEI. Go to SEIC.com/banks.
And U.S. futures are giving up some of yesterday's gains. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 20 points. Dow futures down 155. NASDAQ futures down 82. The DAX in Germany is down about 0.2%. CAC in Paris down 0.6%. And the FTSE 100 down 0.8%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.9%. And the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 0.68%. The yield on the 2-year 0.14%. COMEX gold little changed at $1,954.50 an ounce. The euro 1.1833 against the dollar. The yen 106.06. John.
And Karen, after yesterday's rebound in stocks, the question is whether we've seen the bottom of the sell-off. Volatility is fading a bit, but that might not tell the whole story. Julian Emmanuel is chief equity and derivatives strategist at BTIG.
From our perspective, this is the kind of time where you need to look at your portfolio in a holistic sense. Likely you're overweight equities given the move. Likely you're overweight technology, growth, high flyers. This is the time to pare back some of that exposure, and we'd use further weakness to rotate into some of the areas that have been left behind.
And some of those areas left behind this year include financials, insurance, and healthcare.
Oil has staged a bit of a comeback with Brent crude back above $40 a barrel. Still, prices remain well off last week's levels. Mike McGlone covers commodities for Bloomberg Intelligence.
Crude oil started tilting down a little bit early last week. And the key thing as a commodity strategist, I really noticed the pattern recognition was just bad. It went up to above 40, it's trickling there, and it just could not go any higher every time the stock market went higher. So it was a really good divergent sign of weakness. Now, WTI, I think, should go to near 30. To stay above 40, it needs a higher stock market. It might not get that.
And checking oil prices now, West Texas Intermediate is down 1.3% or 48 cents at $37.56 a barrel, while Brent is down 1% at $40.39.
Overnight in Asia, we saw stocks push slightly higher, but far short of gains in the U.S. session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Karen. Shares rose in Japan, Taiwan, South Korea and Australia, while Indonesian equities slumped the most since March after officials announced the capital, Jakarta, will bring back social distancing measures due to a spike in COVID-19 cases. In Hong Kong, there was a disappointing debut for Yum China's secondary listing, the stock falling around 4%. The CSI 300 on the mainland closed flat. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Coming up today, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. The focus centers on how the bank may shift strategy in the face of the pandemic. Reinhard Kluz is chief Europe economist at UBS.
I think the overall outlook will remain cautious. The ECB is likely to point to the fact that the infections have increased, also that there remains a risk that unemployment over the next couple of months will go up as some of the furlough schemes will be cut back. So within the grand scheme of things, we're unlikely to see concrete monetary policy decisions. That might likely happen later in the year.
We'll also be on the lookout for any hints about intervention to tackle the strong euro. The currency has strengthened more than 10% since March.
And back here in the U.S., it's all about jobs today. We get the government's latest tally on jobless claims. And here with more is Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice.
Recent data have been encouraging, yet today's report comes with a catch. The government has tweaked the manner at which it tallies jobless claims, methodological changes, they call it. That could make direct comparison with prior data tricky, but the trend has been toward lower unemployment. Unemployment dropped to 8.4% last month after hitting a record 14.7% in April. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, TikTok is reportedly making moves to avoid a sale of its U.S. operations. And here with more is Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, is talking to the U.S. government about arrangements to avoid a full sale of the video app's U.S. operations. That's according to the Wall Street Journal, which says discussions have been underway for months but are now taking on more urgency after moves from China to make a sale more difficult. President Trump has set a deadline of this Tuesday for TikTok to agree to a sale or else be shut down. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Jeff, thank you. And this just crossing the Bloomberg ByteDance is increasingly likely to miss a Trump administration deadline for the sale of its TikTok operations, that according to a person familiar with the matter.
There's word of a possible rescue deal for JCPenney. The company's lenders have agreed to team up with Simon Property Group and Brooklyn Property Partners to buy the bankrupt retailer. Here with more on the story is Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
The tentative rescue deal, which would preserve about 70,000 jobs, includes a $300 million equity investment by the landlords. The lender group is already set to take over most of JCPenney's real estate at the outset of the bankruptcy case, with a plan that would have involved spinning the properties into a real estate investment trust and selling the rest of the retailer to the highest bidder. The attempts to reach a sale agreement with outside bidders hit roadblocks as the case dragged on. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And J.P. Morgan employees could potentially find themselves in hot water. Bloomberg News has learned some bank employees improperly received coronavirus relief money. We're told J.P. Morgan discovered the potential wrongdoing after noticing suspicious deposits into accounts owned by employees. That prompted an all-staff message from the bank yesterday outlining potentially illegal acts by some of its staff. J.P. Morgan is declining to comment. Futures this morning again moving lower. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 5:07 on Wall Street, and time to get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you, sir. President Donald Trump defends telling journalist Bob Woodward that he intentionally downplayed the severity of the coronavirus in public, saying he didn't want to cause panic or price spikes. A new book by Woodward reveals that Trump told Woodward that he had been warned in January that the virus had the potential to kill millions. Yet, Trump reassured Americans publicly that the virus was very well under control. Trump spoke yesterday during his press briefing.
You cannot show a sense of panic or you're going to have bigger problems than you ever had before.
Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says Trump lied to the American people and failed to do his job.
He had the information. He knew how dangerous it was. And while this deadly disease ripped through our nation, he failed to do his job on purpose.
Biden spoke during a campaign stop in Warren, Michigan yesterday. Deadly wind-blown wildfires have destroyed hundreds of homes in Northern California and Oregon. Oregon's governor says it could be the greatest loss of life and property from wildfires in state history. The North Complex fire northeast of San Francisco exploded to six times its previous size thanks to gusting winds. The winds have subsided, but only after flames critically burned several people and damaged or destroyed hundreds, if not thousands, of homes and other buildings. Governor Andrew Cuomo says New York City restaurants can reopen for indoor dining at one quarter of their usual capacity on September 30th.
Indoor dining, the rules will be temperature checks for anyone who comes in at the door. One member of each party has to leave information, phone number, email.
Other restrictions include no service at the bar and tables must be spaced 6 feet apart. Two Brooklyn public school teachers have tested positive for the coronavirus in District 15. The Department of Education says one teacher works at PS1 in Sunset Park. The other is at MS88 in Park Slope. Manhattan apartments are piling up on the market and it's getting harder to fill them. According to a report today from appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate, rental listings jumped to more than 15,000 at the end of August, more than double the inventory from a year earlier. The borough's vacancy rate reached a new high of 5.1%. Last August, it was under 2%. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, John. Much-needed wins for the Yankees and Mets. Yanks had lost five in a row, were in danger of falling under 500. They beat the Blue Jays in Buffalo 7-2 behind the pitching of 21-year-old Davey Garcia, and the hitting of Gleyber Torres has been so quiet this year. Just his second home run after 38 last season. He also had a two-run double. The Mets came from behind against Baltimore. They were tied up in the eighth inning.
First pitch, and Pete hits it high in the air to right center. It's deep. Mullins going back at the track, at the wall. He climbs the wall. Doesn't matter. It's gone. Home run, Pete Alonso. And the Mets have taken a 7-6 lead.
At the final, WCBS to call, there were a pair of astounding scores last night. Milwaukee 19, Detroit nothing. And Atlanta 29, Miami 9. Braves club record for most runs in a game. The MLB postseason plan is for playoff bubbles, American League games in Texas, NL games in California. Much closer for the Islanders after the 8-2 drubbing in Game 1, but Tampa Bay's Nikita Kucherov scored with 9 seconds left in regulation. The Lightning won 2-1. They lead the East Final 2-0. NBA playoffs, a classic in the East. Toronto stayed alive. Double overtime over Boston, so they'll play a Game 7 tomorrow. The Clippers won to go up 3-1 on Denver. U.S. Open, third straight match where Serena Williams needed three sets, but she's into the semifinals, and tonight she'll face a fellow mother, Victoria Azarenka. She only lost one game in her match last night. And the NFL season kicks off tonight, Houston at Kansas City. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And futures for the major averages right now, they're all down about 0.3%. Dow futures down 71 points. The S&P futures 10 points lower. And the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now 35 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And the Bloomberg Sports Report brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and a little more on that headline we brought you moments ago. Sources tell Bloomberg ByteDance is increasingly likely to miss a Trump administration deadline for the sale of its TikTok U.S. operations. This after new Chinese regulations complicated negotiations with bidders Microsoft and Oracle. Stocks are slipping and U.S. stock index futures are lower as well after yesterday's rally as investors wait for the outcome of the European Central Bank meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 13 points. Dow futures down 75. NASDAQ futures down 52. The DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 3/32nd. Yield 0.68%. Yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil's down 1.3% or 51 cents at 37.54 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 50 cents at 19.54.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1830 against the dollar. British pound 1.3024 and the yen 106.08. And today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the producer price index and the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump is acknowledging he played down the projected impact of the deadly coronavirus early this year and says he meant to avoid creating a panic. It's on tape in an interview from famed journalist Bob Woodward. The president on Twitter is now calling Woodward's book a political hit job. Joe Biden calls the president's actions totally irresponsible and says while this deadly disease ripped through our nation, he failed to do his job on purpose. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders lost to the Lightning. In baseball, the Yankees won, snapping a 5-game losing streak. The Mets beat the Orioles 7-6. The A's beat the Astros 3-2. The Giants won. NBA playoffs, the Celtics Now bring a deciding Game 7 in the East semifinals after their loss last night. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 520 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. What to make of this price action in stocks? Let's bring in our first guest this morning. We're joined by Michael Houston, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. What is the narrative investors are following today, you suppose, Mike?
Well, at the moment, we're in a bit of a holding pattern ahead of this afternoon's European Central Bank rate decision. Not really expecting too much in the way of changes, maybe some tweaks to guidance overall. But I think one of the things that I have noted this week is the significant volatility we've seen. If you actually look at where markets closed last week and where we are now, there's not that much difference despite the falls that we've seen in tech stocks. And you have to put the fall in the tech stocks in the context of where we were at the from the lows in March. We're still 60% higher. So I would liken this decline in tech stocks to the equivalent of blowing the froth off a very hot latte. Basically means that we've seen a little bit of profit taken and a little bit of heat taken out of the overall rally.
Do the tech stocks need to reset to close the gap with the broader market?
I think they do. I think we need to see a little bit of a reset, a little bit of a reassessment. I certainly think the SoftBank whale story prompted a little bit of profit taking. Given SoftBank's recent track record, I think there was an expectation or a perception perhaps that they were paying the top, and that prompted a little bit of profit taking and a little bit of a follow through selling on the back of that. But what I have noted is if you actually take tech stocks out of the equation and look at what European markets are doing, what Asian markets are doing, we really haven't moved that much in the overall context of where we were in June and July. We're pretty much still in the range that we've been in over the course of the past 3 to 4 weeks, albeit we have made marginal new highs in the DAX and the Nikkei.
The S&P 500, the multiple there appears to be historically high, but is that supported by rates and the outlook for growth?
It's probably supported by the fact that, you know, rates are so low. But I would argue that stocks aren't trading on fundamentals anymore and haven't been for quite some time. You know, you talk about multiples, and they are well above averages, but you also got to look at where bond yields were relative to where those multiples were. And bond yields are an awful lot lower. So essentially what you're doing is, because you can't really get any return in bonds, you're pushing your money into anywhere that it can generate a return. And obviously high beta stocks like tech stocks are probably the first port of call, particularly at a time when economic growth prospects are a little bit, you know, it's uncertain at the moment because of rising infection rates, not only here in Europe, but also in the US as we head into the winter months.
Yeah, so the spreads do matter. As far as a rotation, a leadership change, is that due? We've had any number of false dawns for values, certainly.
I mean, I think values is a tricky proposition because, as you've just rightly said, they are very, very elevated on a historical level. But as I said, I think at the moment, money is just looking for a place to find a return. And valuations are the least of people's considerations. And at the moment, it's about momentum. And if you look at momentum and what momentum is doing, if you know, the trend is very clearly higher. And while we have seen a significant correction in the course of the past week or so, it hasn't changed the overall longer term trend.
Okay,
and that
so
for me is the most important thing.
What's an investor to do at this point? Stick to their guns?
Just buy the dips until such times as the dips can no longer be bought. And for me, that's looking at the highs and the lows. We're still getting higher highs and higher lows. Until that pattern changes, John, I see no reason to be overly alarmed by the short-term volatility that we're seeing at the moment.
When does the pattern change then?
Well, for me, I look at indicators and I look at, you know, moving averages, 50-day moving averages, 100-day moving averages. The S&P is still above its 50-day moving average. It bounced off it this week. While it remains above the 50-day moving average and the lows this week, I'm still very content to buy the dips.
Michael, always a pleasure. Appreciate it. Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets. And as we look at futures right now, ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, the Dow futures, they're 98 points lower. That's down 0.4%. The S&P E-mini futures down about 14 points right now. That's down 0.4%. And the tech-heavy NASDAQ, NASDAQ 100, the NASDAQ E-mini futures right now, 52 points lower. That is down 0.5%. Just ahead, top stories. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for a special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures point to a lower open after yesterday's gains. The question now is whether we've seen the bottom of this sell-off. Maybe not, says Franklin Templeton portfolio manager Jonathan Curtis.
Certainly markets do this from time to time. You know, we are biding our time looking for better opportunities to add to some of the names we really like.
Volatility has faded a bit, remains elevated, though. This morning, the VIX is at 29.53. Mike Wilson is chief equity strategist at Morgan Stanley.
There's been some very speculative activity in the options market that's now being wrung out. We think taking out some of that speculative behavior is necessary and in line with our view that that should happen, and then we can have a broadening out.
Apple and Tesla are once again the most active stocks in early trading. Both are posting modest gains.
Coming up today, we get a policy decision from the European Central Bank. We'll also be on the lookout for any hints about intervention to tackle the strong euro. Wouter Sturkenboom is chief investment strategist for Europe at Northern Trust.
I think what they're going to try to do, at least, is just exude a lot of confidence that the ECB is doing what needs to be done, that the exchange rate is something that they're watching but not targeting, and that they are confident that they, if need be, can do more than they are currently doing to address the deflationary threat.
The euro has strengthened more than 10% since March. It's currently trading at 1.1831 against the dollar.
And turning to corporate news now, TikTok making moves to potentially avoid a sale of its U.S. operations. This according to the Wall Street Journal, which says ByteDance is talking to the U.S. government arrangements to avoid a full-scale TikTok U.S. operations. Separately, Bloomberg News has learned that ByteDance is likely to miss President Trump's deadline to agree to a deal.
And some J.P. Morgan employees could potentially find themselves in hot water. Bloomberg News has learned some bank employees improperly received coronavirus relief money. We're told J.P. Morgan discovered the potential wrongdoing after noticing suspicious deposits into accounts owned by employees. That prompted an all-staff message from the bank yesterday outlining potentially illegal acts by some of its staff. J.P. Morgan is declining to comment. Right now, S&P futures are lower, down 12 points. Dow futures down 101 and NASDAQ futures down 39. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2% now. 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 0.69%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.6%, down 60 cents at $37.45 a barrel. And COMEX gold is down about 0.1%, on $1.50 at $19.53.40 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 5:33, and that's time for news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump is acknowledging he played down the projected impact of the deadly coronavirus early this year and says he meant to avoid creating a panic. A new book by journalist Bob Woodward reveals that Trump told Woodward he had been warned in January that the virus had the potential to kill millions. The interview between Woodward and Trump was recorded.
Breathe the air. That's how it's passed. And so that's a very tricky one. That's a very delicate one. It's also more deadly than your strenuous flus.
Yet Trump assured Americans publicly that the virus was very well under control. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden says President Trump is responsible for the deaths of tens of thousands of Americans for failing to adequately warn about the dangers of the coronavirus.
The idea that he knew what was going on. He denied that he was briefed. Remember he said he wasn't briefed by the intelligence community how bad it was? He didn't read it. He just flat lied. That's wrong. It's totally irresponsible.
Today, more than 190,000 have died in the U.S. so far, and millions have been infected. A Northern California wildfire is threatening thousands of homes after winds whipped it into a monster that incinerated houses in a small mountain community and killed at least three people. The North Complex fire northeast of San Francisco exploded to six times its previous size between Tuesday and Wednesday because of gusting winds. Meanwhile, dozens of wildfires are causing destruction across Oregon. In Marion County, two people were found dead in a vehicle. Trump administration appointees are said to have suppressed intelligence on Russian election interference and the threat from white supremacists. That's according to a whistleblower complaint filed by the Department of Homeland Security's former intelligence chief. Governor Andrew Cuomo announced a long-awaited decision on indoor dining in New York City.
We can go to 25% of indoor dining with certain restrictions that will be enacted on September 30th.
Cuomo says all tables must be 6 feet apart and restaurants will close at midnight.
Nobody will be sitting at the bar. Masks must be worn at all time, except when you're sitting at the table.
Also, one member of each party has to leave information, phone number, and email for contact tracing information. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg Done.
Michael, thank you. 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Burden Accountants and Advisors Sports Report. Here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. Youth was served for the Yankees in Buffalo. They got strong pitching from 21-year-old Davey Garcia. He went seven innings, got his first major league victory. And Gleyber Torres, still only 23 years old, he finally broke out with a home run, four RBIs. Yanks beat the Blue Jays 7-2 to end their five-game losing streak and move back over 500. They're battling Baltimore right now for a playoff spot. The Orioles, who beat the Yanks three straight and then beat the Mets Tuesday, had a 5-1 lead last night at Citi Field. The Mets rallied. Pete Alonso homered in the eighth inning for a comeback 7-6 win. Heartbreak for the Islanders. Looked like game two of the East Final was headed to overtime. Nikita Kucherov scored with 9 seconds left in regulation. Tampa Bay won 2-1 for a 2-0 series lead. Double overtime in the NBA. Toronto stayed alive. We'll play Game 7 with Boston tomorrow. The Clippers beat Denver to go up 3-1. A rare occurrence tonight. Games in all four major sports leagues with the NFL season opener, Houston at Kansas City. And also tonight, women's semifinals of the U.S. Open. Serena Williams will play Victoria Azarenka in each of Serena's last three matches. She has needed three sets.
It's not how you start, it's how you finish, right? So I'm not really, I definitely agree. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I don't even know. Like, I'm some of these matches, you know, you're playing Serena. So it's like, close your eyes and hit as hard as you can, and it doesn't matter. And so I kind of have to adjust to that.
Men's side, straight set quarterfinal wins for Dominic Thiem and Daniel Medvedev. They'll face off tomorrow. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John?
All right, thanks, John. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. With that, here's Bloomberg's Ed Curry.
Sources tell Bloomberg Barclays is interested in office space at Hudson Yards. They say it's looking west to replace their U.S. headquarters in Times Square at the former Lehman Brothers building. Sources say the bank is seeking about 500,000 square feet of space. A spokesman for Barclays declined to comment. Manhattan apartments are piling up on the market. Rental listings jumped to a record at the end of August, more than double the inventory from a year ago, according to appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate. The borough's vacancy rate reached a new high of 5.1%. Well, Citigroup is asking workers in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut if they want to return to the office next month. A survey began circulating Wednesday to gauge interest in coming back to offices that emptied out in March. Executives are also trying to learn what's keeping people away. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in now with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Motorola is out with its second-generation foldable Razr phone.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WTVN in Columbus, I'm reporting a Cleveland-based taco restaurant and bar chain is about to expand to Columbus.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on an emergency meeting between EU and UK officials as Brexit talks are in crisis.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KRLD listeners in Dallas about the baseball playoff bubble being set up in Arlington.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors will be the first car maker to use an almost completely wireless battery management system.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Some other stories we're following. We have a potential blockbuster deal involving Amazon. Bloomberg News has learned the Indian company Reliance Industries is offering to sell a roughly $20 billion stake in its retail business to Amazon. A deal would create a retail behemoth in India. Neither company is commenting. The coronavirus bill for insurers keeps growing. Lloyd's of London says it expects to pay out up to $6.5 billion in claims. The world's largest insurance market announced a pre-tax loss of $570 million for the first half of the year. And it's 5:40 on Wall Street. A reminder, the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now. It's an issue devoted entirely to November's election. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAGGO. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio and on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or your mobile device. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Uncertain about your financial future? Let Burden serve as your trusted advisor and create innovative solutions to help protect you, your family, and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are slipping. U.S. stock index futures are lower after yesterday's rally as investors wait for the outcome of the European Central Bank meeting. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 12 points. Dow futures down 93. NASDAQ futures down 35. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 2/32nd, yield 0.69%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% on 61 cents at $37.44 a barrel. COMEX gold little change, down 20 cents at $19.54.80 an ounce. The euro, 1.1835 against the dollar. British pound, 1.3017. And the yen is at 106.06. And today we're watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the producer price index and the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Donald Trump defended telling journalist Bob Woodward that he intentionally downplayed the severity of the coronavirus in public, saying he did not want to cause panic. Joe Biden says Trump knowingly and willingly lied about the threat it posed for months. President Trump's 2020 reelection campaign and the Republican National Committee announced that they jointly raised $210 million in August. While Trump's August fundraising is a record for his campaign, it is less than the $365.4 million Joe Biden and the Democratic National Committee raised last month. In the NHL playoffs, the Islanders lost to the Lightning. In baseball, the Yankees won, snapping a five-game losing streak. The Mets beat the Orioles. The A's beat the Astros 3-2. The Giants won. NBA playoffs, the Celtics lost and now face a deciding Game 7 in the East semifinals. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John.
Michael, thank you. 5:49 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Euro right now, a little steady before the European Central Bank meeting today. Let's preview this meeting with Jane Foley, head of FX strategy at Rabobank. What kind of shape is Europe in, the outlook for growth likely to be for the European Central Bank?
Well, actually, there is a possibility that the ECB could revise up their growth forecast for 2020 yet today, at least a little bit modestly. If we look at some of the economic data that we've been seeing for the current quarter, it's a little bit better, perhaps, or at least in line with expectations. And, of course, this does tune in with that Bloomberg headline yesterday that ECB forecasts are likely to show a little bit more confidence. So the economy, at least in the third quarter, is not perhaps as bad as some people had feared, but inflation likely to be subdued, and there is a possibility that the ECB could downgrade that inflation path.
Now, inflation, Jane, as you know, is one thing. Deflation keeps central bankers awake at night. Is Christine Lagarde sleeping well lately?
Well, and I think it's difficult for all central bankers, particularly when you already have a negative interest rate, because there is a concern that negative interest rates, that there are lots of side effects with these, and where do you go on policy? So I doubt she's been sleeping too well. I think that's probably the case with many G10 central bankers really since around about March. But at least she can be reassured that the economy perhaps isn't as bad as she thought right now. But, of course, her biggest problem remains with COVID-19. And within Europe in the last few days, certainly, there are headlines that there are more of a surge of cases again, that this battle certainly has not been won. And actually, as we head into the winter, into the flu season, there could be more problems. And I think that is the big factor that's keeping central bankers, other policymakers, and almost everybody else awake at night, because certainly the economy is very, very vulnerable to fears of a second wave.
The euro 118.36 right now, do they draw a line in the sand somewhere?
Well, I think Chief Economist Lane has already done that quite successfully, and that line for now is probably at 120. It is quite interesting, I think, his choice of words at the end of last month, suggesting that the euro-dollar exchange rate is relevant for policy. Now, that, I think, is a statement of the obvious, but it wasn't so much those words, it was the fact that he said them and when he said them. And, of course, he said it as euro-dollar was attacking that 120 level, and hence the line of the sand there. Now, it could be that that's enough for now for the ECB. We've got to remember that central bankers, and certainly the ECB, does not want to get embroiled in accusations that it's verbally intervening in the market. That's not something that a G7 central bank will want to do. So she may repeat what he said if asked a question by the audience, and this does seem quite likely that it does matter for policy, but she's unlikely to go much beyond then in referring to the currency.
As far as the composition of the purchases by the European Central Bank, is that mix going to change anytime soon, do you anticipate?
Yes, and to be honest, I think perhaps December, I think the market consensus is really focusing on December, maybe even March if the data carries on improving, but it does seem likely that the PEPP, the extra bond purchases put in place this year, will have to carry on beyond the middle of 2021, and that's when it's currently communicated to end. So there is likely to be an extension. The market is focusing perhaps on December. It may be able to delay that announcement until March, but there are likely to be some changes in that in the foreseeable future.
In about 30 seconds, help me understand Brexit in the UK and the impact on sterling. Where is this headed?
Well, I think sterling is a very vulnerable currency. If there is a no-trade deal Brexit, which does look quite possible at this stage, I think there's going to be more pressure. And possibly that will keep on the table this fear of negative interest rates from the Bank of England if it leads to more confusion in January and more red tape or more queues at the borders, etc.
Jane, always a pleasure. Thank you very much this morning. We appreciate that. Jane Foley, head of FX strategy at Rabobank. Again, European Central Bank decision today. This morning, euro right now, 118.36. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. 5:53 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
A federal watchdog is calling for tighter oversight of billions of dollars in questionable payments to private Medicare Advantage health plans. Health officials in California cited a frozen food manufacturer and a temporary staffing agency for failing to protect hundreds of workers from the coronavirus. lawsuit filed in Illinois accuses a Canadian company of marketing vaping products that misrepresent UL safety certifications.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now another legal story we're watching. Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is facing more legal trouble. The House Oversight Committee is launching an investigation into whether he pressured employees at his former business to contribute to Republican candidates and then reimburse them with company funds. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to campaign finance expert Meredith Megahee, the executive director of Issue One.
Merit, the basic scheme alleged here, hiding where donations come from by having employees make them and then reimbursing them, is that considered illegal?
Well, it's one of the bedrocks of financial and campaign finance disclosure, that the purpose of having it is, you know, the true source of the money. And so this notion of giving in the name of another has been something that has been illegal since the 1970s in the campaign finance context. But it's often a problem when you have disclosure rules. People attempt to evade disclosure rules. I kind of describe the situation where giving in the name of another, as this is often referred to, is one of the few places where both campaign finance law is clear, and it actually has, unlike many other portions of law, been enforced robustly over the years. So there's a strong record of enforcement precisely on this question.
So does it depend on how much pressure, whether the employee feels like he or she might be losing their job? In this case, apparently, emails were sent that invited employees to fundraisers. There were follow-up calls and visits to employees' desks.
So there's a line between, okay, at what point does something that's supposed to be voluntary become compulsory, right? You would have to look at the set of facts to determine whether that occurred, something that was supposed to be voluntary. Hey, if you want to get ahead in this company, you'll know what you'll do, right? Then you've crossed into a line. But it's important to understand that that kind of happens on a regular basis every day. Where the line here, I think, sounds like, according to the stories that come out, it's one thing for someone to say, hey, if you're a good company employee, you'll give to the PAC. It's a far, far different thing to say, hey, you make your contribution and I'll make sure, you know, that it gets covered. Or I'll get it covered and any taxes based on the bonus. Or why don't you have your wife do it and I'll make sure that it gets covered. You've crossed the Rubicon on legality when you start getting into the world of, you know, and I'll make sure it gets covered.
And that's Meredith Megahee, a campaign finance expert and executive director of Issue One, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview plus analysis of the latest legal news by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcasts. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. S&P futures down about 9 points this morning. Dow futures down 74. NASDAQ futures down about 15. The 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.69%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues, our top story straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.